So please, please, please pray for your preacher during the sermon today, because I've got this nagging cough that just won't go away. So I've had Ricola, I've got my born and raised in Texas tumbler full of water. This should get me through, but y'all, please pray for me, and we'll do this together. We'll get through it together. Let's pray. God, we come before you this morning so secure in your peace. We believe you when you offer your peace to us. And so this morning, as gracious recipients of a wonderful gift, we accept your peace gladly in the name of Jesus. Amen. So try to picture 400 years. It's not easy for us to picture 400 years, but about 400 years before Jesus finally came into the world, the people of God finally got to go back home. Now, for what amounted to hundreds of years before that, they had been scattered all over the place east of Israel and Judah and Jerusalem. They started being taken off around 721 BC into the Assyrian Empire up north. And if that wasn't bad enough, about 100 years later, Assyria falls to Babylon in 612. And then the Babylonian Empire takes over the Assyrian Empire and thus the people of God. Babylonian Empire goes and gets the rest of them out of Judah, takes them into exile, puts them into slavery. The Persian Empire then takes over, and finally the Persians said, "Y'all go home." And so they went home, and they started rebuilding the temple. They started rebuilding Jerusalem. And as they started rebuilding Jerusalem, believing God at His word, they rebuilt the temple, ascended the steps of the second temple and said, "God is with us. We are home." And that lasted for quite some time. The Roman Empire then, as we all know, came in, took things back over, ended up destroying what became the second temple. And then after all of those things happened, after the passage that we read out of the second half of Isaiah, where these people are looking forward to a time where hills are going to be made low and where dry valleys are flowing with water, whoever penned the Gospel of Mark said, "This is far from over. God has not turned His back. As a matter of fact, just the opposite. God gave us Jesus, still gives us Jesus." And so listen to this, a retold story for a city of dreams. See, what makes the introduction of the Gospel of Mark so vital for us today is the way that it calls us to never stop preparing the way of the Lord. What is the role of the Christian church? Who are we supposed to be as followers of Jesus, as this church? We are supposed to be people who never stop preparing the way of the Lord. Today is a day of peace. Today is a reminder to be people who live and die by a commitment to the peace of Christ. Peace is everything. Peace that passes understanding. Peace that only becomes real in the ways we show Christ to the world, by our words and by our actions. And this is how the Gospel of Mark begins to tell this story for a new generation. This is the opening of the Gospel of Mark, not just for then, but for today. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah. See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie the strap of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Do you know what a trajectory is? It's a path. It goes from here to here to here. This is what we are in the middle of with Mark 1. We're in the middle of a trajectory. It's not the end of the story. Do you hear the way that the Gospel of Mark begins? It begins with the word begin, the beginning of the good news. The Gospel of Mark is not the end of the story. As a matter of fact, it is the beginning. It was the beginning back then. It's still the beginning today. But it's a part of a trajectory. It goes from one place, says, here we are in the middle, and now we're going somewhere else. Isaiah 40, that we read before the song, before now, before the sermon, says at the beginning of their story, Isaiah 40, verse 1, at the beginning of their new story, says, comfort, comfort my people. They needed comfort because they had been in exile and they went home. And when they got to their new home that their grandparents had talked about while they were in exile, I can't wait for you to get to go home and see where we grew up. They walked in to a place that was basically just broken rocks. It had been completely destroyed. And they said, This is what Grandma talked about as the promised land. This doesn't look like a promised land. But you know what they did? As people of God's comfort, they said, why don't we together turn this city of ruins into a city of dreams, and we can do it together. When Mark penned his gospel, he most likely penned it to a group of people who sat around a broken temple, who sat around the destroyed temple of God. And what does Mark start his gospel by saying? The beginning of good news. Now, the people of God might have looked at Mark and gotten a little bit upset with him and said, how can you be so audacious as to call what we're living in right now the beginnings of good news? And Mark, like Isaiah, probably responded, because the big picture is about the story of God. And what God gives us is a peace that passes understanding. And so, what are we supposed to do as the people of God? We prepare the path. We keep getting the path ready. But how do we? All right, so 2023, we're about to go into 2024. How do we do this? How do we get the path ready? And I'd like to suggest this morning that we don't. We don't get the path ready. We get ourselves ready. We get us ready. The way that we prepare the path is by preparing ourselves and preparing our hearts for what God still has in store. And this is where the trajectory finds its logical next place. I'd like to read to you from something that probably was written while all of these things were unfolding. When Paul had ministered to a group of young Christians in this little church in Asia Minor called Philippi. And in Philippians 4, this is what Paul writes to a group of people who are trying to find their way. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. The peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. How's your heart? How's your mind? We hear from the Word of God today that your heart, if it is overflowing with happiness, or if it is filled with trouble, your heart today is guarded by a God whose peace passes understanding. How's your mind today? If your mind is completely at ease and at rest, or if your mind is cluttered and overwhelmed, your mind today is guarded by God whose peace passes understanding. The second half of Isaiah was about getting the people ready to move into a new season. It wasn't about getting a specific path ready. It was about getting the people ready to go home. It was about getting the people ready to live in a new place. The Gospel of Mark, the beginning of the good news of God's people, was about getting the people ready. It was about getting them ready to live into this new city of dreams. And Philippians is the same exact thing. It's about getting the people of God ready to keep living in such a way that they know everywhere that they go, their hearts and their minds are guarded by the peace of God that passes understanding. I've told this story before. Some of you have heard it. Some of you haven't. But years ago, at a Lifeline chaplaincy dinner, one of the speakers was talking about raising his children and how he realized somewhere along the way that he was trying so hard to get the path ready for the child. And he said somewhere along the way he realized that he had gotten it mixed up, that instead of getting the path ready for the child, he needed to spend his time getting the child ready for the path. You see the difference? It's not about getting the path ready for the child. It's about getting the child ready for the path. Now, the reason that that stuck with me so much is because at the time that he said that, at that Lifeline dinner, I was raising tweens. You know what tweens are? Lord have mercy. Tweens are 11, 12, 13-year-olds. I didn't have this pretty white stuff in my beard before my children were tweens, but when they were tweens, I realized I had spent about the first decade of their life trying to get the path ready for them. I'm going to arrange this. I'm going to get this ready for them. Everything will go great. Get this ready. Get this ready. And that guy said that one thing at a Lifeline dinner, and it was like a revelation. It was like an epiphany. It made me realize, oh, man. What I need to be doing is getting the child ready for the path. I don't know if you've noticed this, but we live in a world right now where everybody is trying to get the path just right. You notice that? Well, if we do this, path will be just right. We do this, path will be this one, this one, this one. We'll get the path ready. Waste of time. Who are we as the people of God? Who are we as the Christian church, as the followers of Jesus? We are people who know deep down inside that what we need to be doing as a united body of Christ's believers, a united body of Jesus followers, that we need to be building up each other, working side by side, no matter what. Good times, when things get bad, and everything in between. We, as the people of God in this place, may not be able to do anything about the path, but you know what we can do? We, as God's people, who meet together in this place and call this place home, we can get each other ready. We can build up each other. Today is about getting us ready for the path. And I'm thinking that what better place to start this week than remembering, as we walk the path, the one true and living God is guarding your heart and surrounding us with peace that far exceeds our understanding. Amen. We made it. Ugh.